Blog Talk Radio.
It's almost time.
You right there with the pretzel. Time to sit down.
Who's, man?
Yeah.
Hey, you going to the concession stand. You going to the bathroom. Come back. The show's about to start.
Got my boys. We out here ready. We about to be some high-flying, high-slamming, slammer-jammer, three-point shooting between the legs, behind your back, through your legs, on your neck. Hey, everybody, if you guys will get in your seats, I'm going to sing the national anthem.
Ready.
It's time to... I put it down the babies, put down the pepperoni.
Let's go!
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, game time!
Hey, good evening, folks. Welcome to another Prance Court of Prince Blog Talk Radio Show. I'm your host, M.H. Scott, and as always, I promise you another wonderful show, a show filled with information. A show filled with insight from a parent's perspective. You know, parents, it's been oftentimes that, you know, we go out here and we look at the industry of sports and we wonder, where is our role? You know, what is our role? What should we be doing? You know, we ask all those questions. Should we be involved? And parents, I'm going to be the first one to tell you, yes, you should be involved in every aspect of sports if your child is actually playing the game. You know, because there are some things out there, and there are some folks out there that don't always have our children's focus and our children's goal as their number one priority or looking at that from the best interest. But we're going to talk about something tonight, folks, and again, it's just giving you a little insight from a parent's perspective and somebody that's been associated with the program or with the game for a number of years. But we're going to talk about something that I think is time for us to have this conversation again. We're going to talk about Amateur Athlete Union, commonly known as AAU. But before that, as always, you know, we're going to step to the side and listen to my man, Mr. Keith Wright, his little piece that he does for us each and every week. Where you at, Keith?
Student of the game, had people front and talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know I would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then B-ball would do the same. I can't complain the situation that I'm in. Meeting different connects that turn out to be my friends. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end, and when the ball starts bouncing on my diploma out the pen, but I'm hating then. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands or in the bleachers. I'm only preaching. I'm just trying to spit knowledge and acknowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart moves. That's how I do.
You know, folks, I like to hear that each and every week that we have Keith come on and do that little piece for us. As he says, he's making smart cool. He's making smart cool. For those of you who haven't heard me say it, you know, Keith is a graduate of the University of Harvard and played ball up there some years ago. I think he graduated probably about 2 years ago and has moved on to do some bigger and better things in life. But I just appreciate putting that little piece together for us here at the Parents Coach of Parents Network. And I share it with you each and every week. Well, folks, I said I'm going to talk about, well, have someone come on and we're going to discuss the AAU circuit. You know, but even before we go deep into that, some thoughts ran across my mind earlier this week. And as these things ran across my mind, you know, as I was preparing for the show and putting together some thoughts and trying to make sure that our guest was going to be available, you know, I was just thinking, it's been a nice long journey to get us to where we are today. And we have serviced and assisted and guided and helped and mentored and did all these other great things with other parents, not only just here in our local area, but around the country, you know, having conversations with folks on a regular basis. But what I like to say, you know, and I think this is something that carries throughout most of the organizations that you have that's out there assisting and guiding and mentoring other parents. You know, we're not out here for any type of personal gain. We're not out here to beat any drums or to jump on any type of tables and get any major recognition or anything of that nature. We're out here, and majority of the time, if you get involved with an organization, the organization is all about service, all about trying to give back some of the experiences that they have had over the years, trying to give back to the community, ensuring that other folks get the best out of their upcoming situation. Because I look at it at the end of the day, the information and knowledge that I have gained over the years, you know, in the process of the recruiting process, okay, if I don't do anything with it, what good is it? You know, so I try to share this information, try to share this insight with other parents and, you know, other young athletes that's coming along that may not have someone that's really and truly interested in what they're doing. But I try to make sure that our children have an opportunity to go to school and have somebody pay for as much of that schooling as possible. That's my only hope. That's my only dream. That's my only true desire, to make sure that we can get as many kids in school to make sure that they dot that I and cross that T at the end of the day. So along that note, folks, I'm just simply saying that, you know, help us help you. If we can do anything for anyone, you know, that you know of, pass this information on, share this with other folks out there in your community, and we will continue to do what we do. You know, we have other great organizations out there, Mothers of Athletes. I like to shout them out as I always do because of the simple fact that those ladies are on the move. They got some things going on. You'll hear about them over the next few months or so. And if you're interested in, you know, just finding out some of the events that they have going on, you can also Google their name, Mothers of Athletes, as well as the Parents Coaching Parents Network. Well, folks, at any part of our conversation this evening, you want to join in on the conversation, please, by all means, we encourage you to chime in, ask your questions. If you have any concerns or you just want to try to dialogue with us, you may have some insight that you want to try to bring to the table. Always, you're always, always, always welcome, no matter what your conversation is all about, as long as we keep it on topic and keep it clean. Give us a call at 917-889-8095. 917-889-8095. Well, it's about time for me to go to our guest. You know, I've had the pleasure of conversating with this brother, and believe it or not, we've never had a face-to-face meeting, but we've talked on the phone on several occasions. We've sent emails and chit-chatted back and forth, and, you know, had the opportunity to come on his show a couple of times, and we shared some information with him as well as he came on the Parents Coach of Parents Network and just called in as a regular caller and shared some information with us. And I appreciate everything that this young man has done and continued to do. I first gravitated towards the information that he was sharing just based upon the name of his organization, and I think since then I may have seen a couple other names, but I'm going to let him clear that up for us. But when I seen Hoop Kids, that really jumped out at me. I guess it was something about it, and as I dug deeper into it and found out
that it was an organization, was a camp that, you know, someone's actually working with kids in an inner city environment, that I guess that really caught my attention because I was one of those kids at one time. Well, without further ado, I'm going to bring in our guest for the evening, Mr. Dave Dixon, coming in from Hoop Kids. Dave, you there?
Yes, I am. How are you, Mike?
I'm doing great, brother. Doing great. Glad you could join us.
Good, good. Good to hear from you. And glad that you reached out to me and gave me a call. You know, want to thank you. And know this has been a little bit of a challenging year for you because, you know, Mike Jr., who just really had started to kick the doors in, with the Hawks had an injury and so I'm want to let you know I'm praying for Mike and looking forward to him coming back.
Now I'm glad you mentioned that and appreciate that and appreciate your thoughts and even bringing that up. Just a quick update on that part. Found out here recently it's just a sprain. He's looking at the 2 to 4 week thing.
Wonderful.
Getting back out there shortly thereafter. Initially, they thought it was a broken toe, just due to the way he was feeling on it. Mm-hmm. Then after he got back, you know, the first doctor that took a look at it, he thought it was a tendon, but he wasn't sure. And I was like, tendon's not a good thing. You know, that means
right. Somebody
may think about cutting something.
Mm-hmm.
And then I talked to him this morning and come to find out it's only a sprain, so he should be back in action round about playoff time. So I think that's going to be a highlight for him. But we appreciate you.
Good news.
Yes, sir. Well, give us some insight on who you are and what you do and a little bit about your organization before we go into our conversation.
Well, sure. I'm the founder and now national director for Hoop Kids Instructional Basketball. And Hoop Kids Instructional Basketball started almost 16 years ago now and has evolved into Hoop Kids Hoop Elite, where we're, a big part of what we do is actually the individual training, because kids and parents were, you know, feeling that they needed individual trainers. Our program was really based on, helping to develop basketball skills, in a really, kind of fun, upbeat environment with a good measure of sportsmanship involved, but really kind of getting kids ready for organized basketball, and over the years that process has evolved into us getting kids ready for travel and grassroots basketball or AAU basketball, training some of the top high school, college, and even pros now in the in the Washington D.C. or DMV, as we now like to say, area. and with that, that process again, because as we've talked about a lot, this basketball industry just continues to evolve. There's a different way of developing players than when you and I were coming along. AAU and travel basketball or grassroots basketball has become the central matter or central opportunity for kids to develop as players. When you and I were growing up, there was still a playground culture. Where kids really developed on the playground. You didn't get the bulk of your, organized basketball and organized coaching until you got to high school. And that's changed. I mean, with Hoop Kids, we started age 3, both boys and girls. When we realized that, you know, and starting, they were five-year-olds, and we realized that we couldn't keep their 3- and 4-year-old siblings off the court. So we knew they were ready. We just wanted to make sure that we were approaching the process, correctly with kids that young, because basketball, as you know, is a very difficult sport to become good at. You know, there are those of us who those that kind of come out of the womb with all the skills necessary, but most do not, come out being readily available or readily having the skills available for them to run forward, run backwards, jump, shoot, defend, ball handling, everything that's involved in basketball. Most of us have to really have a lot of repetition and a lot of training to become good players. As of course with anything else, there's always exceptions. But that was the process has changed, and now because it's essentially a $3 billion a year spring and summer business, the grassroots basketball industry. And we haven't even really started talking about the whole financial aspect, because these kids travel and they're and you as parents are supporting hotels, restaurants, paying hotel and restaurant taxes, gas, airplanes, now on the circuit, on the with the sneaker circuits, these kids are flying everywhere.
Exactly.
And so it's a really different world, and what parents should know is they really just should know how things work. One of my and you and I have spoken about this, but one of the things that I have to deal with on a regular basis is explaining to parents how things work now. They're telling me, I should be able to do this and my kid shouldn't have to do that and he shouldn't have to do it. I said, no, he doesn't have to do any of that. But if you don't do these things, your kid is at a disadvantage. And I'm not saying you have to do it, and I'm not saying that you can't be an exception to the rule. But if you think that, the school, the big schools are going to be, are going to wait until the end of your kid's senior year to recruit them. That's just not how things work. I've got ninth graders that have 10, 12 offers from major schools. Coaches aren't sitting at home saying, I'm wondering what that kid is going to be in the 12th grade. It doesn't work like that now. So it's a different ball game, and there's some things that are great about what happens at grassroots basketball. Some wonderful things that happen, and then there's some things that are not so good, about it. And I don't take the attitude that I've even heard a lot of pros recently say, I hate AAU basketball, I hate grassroots basketball. No, I love all basketball. There's just elements of it that I don't like in terms of, how things are sometimes handled with kids' development. But there's some good to be had from it, and you just have to be aware of what's good and what's bad.
Hey Dave, on that note, and it's interesting that you mentioned that little piece about what some of these professional athletes have decided to voice their opinion. We got to realize that even them voicing their opinion, they're probably speaking from the perspective of when they were young men and they were playing and what they got out of that particular system.
Absolutely.
That system at that time was probably a little bit smaller than what it is today.
Yeah, and there wasn't – you're absolutely right. And I think that the organization aspect is completely different. And I think one of the biggest things that I had and that you had from a development aspect of coming along as an athlete. I had an opportunity when I was, you know, 13 or 14 for the first time to start at that age, to actually have opportunities. There were places where I could go. Getting into a game was a whole nother matter, but there are places that I could go and play against guys that were already Division One basketball players. Competitive, you know, they didn't take any shorts on me because I was 13 or 14 years old. They were bigger, stronger, would beat you up. The whole aspect, you know, the whole thing for them was to win, you know. And so, you know, out of that, you know, I learned about competition. You know, I learned about playing hard. I learned, you know, the on the job, if you will, learning that I got out of those experiences, you know, not wanting to be embarrassed or, you know, tired of, you know, being tired of a bigger, stronger, better player, you know, taking the ball from me or and things like that. It's pretty hard to replace. And so now what you see is the you know, the advent of reclassing, what, and you know, when you and I were coming along, it was called staying back. you stay
yeah,
back.
Exactly.
Now, you know, there's an intentional reclassing to allow you, you know, to get bigger and stronger, and to play against the, you know, younger, less experienced players, and you know, it has become a regular thing. If you look at the top 100 list, the ESPN top 100 list for the kids in the class of 2015 who will come out this year, I can guarantee you that of that top 100, you know, 85 to 90 of them have been reclassed.
Wow.
It is something that is regular now. It's normal. But that's the closest thing to the experience that you and I had with, you know, playing against older, you know, better kids. And oftentimes that was in an unorganized situation too, you know, where, you know, you just kind of had to man up and kind of do the best you could. And now, you know, all of that those kind of experiences are coming in an organized way.
Yeah. Hey, Dave, you know, as you talk about that reclassing, you know, and we look at that and look at what it really boils down to, you know, kids staying back a year or being held back a year, you know, do you know, I've often said it, and I firmly believe it. A lot of it is due to they didn't prepare early enough in their career. You know, had they started seriously working on being bigger, faster, stronger, whatever, you know, 6th, 7th, 8th grade, then by the time they got to the high school level,
the primary reclassing is done in the middle schools. It's not being done in high school. Because you got to remember, in most public school sports associations, or athletic associations, and I know this to be true, and I know you're down in Virginia, and I'm in Maryland, and in D.C. proper as well, you're not allowed to do that in a public school situation or setting. Now, you can go to, you know, one of the private schools and reclass, but in a public school, it's like, hey, whatever your transcript says. So if you're in the 10th grade, you're in the 10th grade. You can't, you know, just all of a sudden go back to the 9th grade. So most of it is done at the middle school level, it's really just a very normal process, and some of the brightest young kids I know who are doing excellent in school are reclassing. So it's strictly, you know, quite frankly, it's strictly a you know, has to do with athletics. And you know, that's another thing that parents, and I'll just touch on this real quickly and I'll let you move on, but one of the other trends that I've seen over the last 10 years, out of, you know, what we do with Hoop Kids and, you know, hundreds of kids, you know, each year we have become attached to and involved with and their families, And out of that process, we have each year, you know, anywhere from, you know, minimally, you know, 25 kids to as much as I've gotten 60 kids into college each year on basketball scholarships. This is both both boys and girls. And our experience has been over the last, I'd say, 7 years that I've got some kids, you know, we have kids that have perfect SATs and, you know, 4 point plus averages because of their AP and honors classes. And they're getting into Ivy League schools and some of the most selective schools in the country. But guess what? They're not getting a lot of money.
Wow.
You know, parents will say to me, "Oh, well, you know, my kid can get an academic scholarship." Well, okay, let's start applying to schools. And when we start applying to schools, well, guess what? The school that your kid's applying for, you know, let's take locally here, George Washington University. George Washington, you know, runs about $67,000, $68,000. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Your kid has an excellent academic record, excellent all around record. And they're saying that they'll say, okay, we're gonna give you guys $25,000. Well, that's
wow.
Great if you're buying a used car. But you still got to come up with 40 plus, which is
that's
another
true.
Mortgage. Okay.
Yep.
And so you have the choice of sending your kid there for that $25,000 discount, which is a big deal, by the way. Yeah, I mean that's not I'm not throwing that out the window, but the problem is you're now faced with, you know, do I have the extra 40 in my do I have 40 a year for my college fund? Do I hit them with a student loan? Do I have them come out of the door with his engineering degree and his perfect 4.0 and his great college experience, and the kid's got $150,000 in debt that he's got to deal with.
Yeah.
So these are real things. And look, and the same kid is a decent basketball player. So I can get this kid in a Division II or in many cases a Division III school where they want the kid, the boy or the girl, to come there to play basketball. And they, even though the Division III's in particular don't give full scholarships, they're piecing together a full scholarship for this kid, okay? They're going to the engineering department and saying, hey, we need, you know, $6,000 from you, and they're going here to do that, and then they give them a work-study job, and then, you know, pretty soon the kid's tuition is taken care of. Okay, he's just an okay basketball player. I'm not talking about the basketball player that's going to go to UVA or go to Maryland or Georgetown. You know, he may not be that, or she may not be that level of player, but there are plenty of schools out there, and they're getting more money for doing that than they are for their perfect academic record. So, you tell me what avenue you'd like to pursue.
Exactly.
And you know, and it's because as a society, we talk a really good game about education. I know you're really strong. You know, one of the things I've been most impressed with over the years is what you have done with your parents, coaching parents network, because you've talked a lot about the academics, and you've talked a lot about you know, where kids needed to be in their core courses and all the NCAA requirements. But guess what? We don't as a society value education, because if we did, we'd put more money into it. What we do put money into is what I have on in the background right now, this NCAA Final Four pursuit, that's making untold billions of dollars off of the media and the television deal. That's where those are the things we're interested in. We support those things. We're not supporting, you know, the kid that wants to be, you know, a botanist or an engineer. We aren't, you know. And I'm not telling parents to don't focus in on education, because that's the last thing in the world I would do. It provided, you know, some opportunities, a lot of opportunities for me. you know, to go to college. My, you know, I have a 16-year-old who, you know, knock on wood, is an unbelievable student who has one of those 4-point plus averages, and so I've been really fortunate in that regard. But you know, the same thing that I have to, you know, talk to parents about with grassroots and with AAU basketball, in terms of being honest about how things work, I also have to do the same thing with academic, with your academics pursuits. You know, hey, they don't value that. They're telling you it's extremely important, but all the money is going into the football and the basketball program. Not everybody's going to play football and basketball, but if you can play a little bit and you work hard and you enjoy this, you would have done it anyway for free, then I can, guess what? I can get you into school somewhere.
Yep, that's so true. That's so true. Hey, folks, we've been talking with Mr. Dave Dickerson from Hoop Kids, or Hoop Elite nowadays, and has actually grown from a national, from a small community-based program to a national program, and he's been doing some great things with our kids in the community, and will continue to do things as years go on. We're going to get around to the conversation that we initially wanted to start talking about
okay.
at some point in time, but Dave's been sharing some great insight for with us and has opened some doors for us to continue on with this conversation. But we're going to step away for a second. We'll be right back here on the Parents Coach Parents Network. I'm your host, M.H. Scott. We'll be right back.
NAIA Athletic Showcase is a new event for us. We're launching it in Peoria, Illinois in June. I believe June 21st and 22nd. It's an opportunity for high school student athletes to come in and basically show their athletic ability to NAIA coaches. We'll have head coaches in the sports of football, men's and women's soccer, baseball, and softball. And so a student athlete can show up, be able to run through some tests, through some drills in some sports, actually be able to play, and those coaches will be there and decide whether they want to award an athletic scholarship or recruit that student athlete into the future.
Check out Parents Coaching Parents Network on blogtalkradio.com/parentscoachingparents.
Hi, I'm Marlon, the Eligibility Coach Jones, with today's tip for easy athletic certification, official visits. Many parents have asked me exactly what the student must have in order to be able to accept an official visit to a school. First, the student must register with the NCAA Eligibility Center. In addition to registering, the student must complete the answers to the amateurism question. Then the student needs to provide a copy of an official high school transcript to the coaches, along with a copy of their standardized test scores. Once the school has this information, you can visit officially. This means the university can reimburse you for your travel expenses and provide up to 3 complimentary admissions to a home event. In addition, the university can also provide on-campus parking. For more information on tips for certification, please visit our website at www.eligibilitycoach.com. This is Marlon, the Eligibility Coach, wishing you scholarships.
Check out Parents Coaching Parents Network on blogtalkradio.com/parentscoachingparents.
All right, folks, we're back. We're back. And we've been having a nice, great conversation with Mr. Dave Dickerson of Hoop Kids and Hoop Elite. And Dave has shared some great information with us on some of the things that he has done and have been able to accomplish over the years with the many kids he has worked with. And just, you know, just reinforce some of the things that we have talked about here on the Parents Coaching Parents Network.
But they was also have some interaction with the AAU circuit. And now we look at it from a perspective as a circuit. And I'm going to let Dave go into some details on how it just became that circuit compared to what some of us may have remembered 15, 20 years ago, or even if it goes back that far, where AAU was just a handful of, you know, young men and women that stood out in your local community, got them together, put them on a team, and started doing some traveling around to play in different locations and different cities and different states and things of that nature. This thing has evolved to become a little bit more than what we know it to be in previous years. You know, I recall the time where, you know, just, you know, you would have your maybe one kid from each school, or, you know, maybe not even one kid from each school. You know, you have a handful of kids that would be put together, and, you know, one guy would come along and he would get all the kids and, you know, take them out and work with them in somebody's gym and then go on from there. But, like I said, it has evolved to be something totally different nowadays. Now that we have the sneaker industries involved, this program has changed immensely and has grown to be, as Dave alluded to earlier in the conversation, a billion-dollar industry. Dave, are you still with us?
Yes, I am. Yeah,
okay.
As you were talking, I was just thinking about how much most of the things that I'm going to talk about that I know about have actually really kind of started really came into fruition maybe 4 years ago, but people are just starting to see the impact. And of course, you started off talking about AAU, the Amateur Athletic Union, which as an organization itself has really evolved over the years. In our forefathers' days, I know in my dad's days, it was almost kind of a semi-pro situation where people played and even particularly in the Midwest. Michael, I don't know if you remember this, but again, you'd have to go into my parents' timeline. But into the 50s, many AAU teams were sponsored by companies, and they would gather, guys, some of the best, college players, from a particular area, and play on an AAU circuit during the summers. But if you played for that particular team, if it was, if you played for Standard Oil or Exxon's AAU team, you also worked for the company. You had a summer job for the company.
Okay.
And so it's completely evolved from that. And of course, these were, primarily, older, more accomplished players, college level players, and it evolved to be something very for young kids as well. And this is in all sports. This is not just basketball, but this was in track, and I mean, they even had bowling and a bunch of other sports as well. But what we know about today is the AAU basketball circuit, and of course the idea is you come out of a particular AAU region and you qualify. You have to have won enough out of that region to qualify or place in certain tournaments so that you could qualify for going to the nationals in your age group. And that's still true. It's true today. The regional events are certified, by the AAU, and you kind of come out of that process. Well, what's made this thing go a little further than that, and it's much more organized, is that the shoe companies that we all know and love are extremely involved in brand loyalty. And the best way to start with brand loyalty, Mike, is to, you know, to get in, you know, to the minds of our people early. You know, so whether it's Nike or Adidas or now Under Armour is in the mix. All three of those groups in particular, Reebok has dropped out of, you know, that whole kind of support. And that happened when Adidas, you know, bought them. And they're not involved in any way now of supporting and, you know, being involved in, you know, providing sponsorships. So it's just the big three. And the big three all have their own leagues now. You know, Nike was the first to do it with the EYBL, with the Elite Youth Basketball League, and it's essentially a collection of teams from around the country. You know, most of the urban areas around the country. There's a representative in each of those markets, and. You know, these groups are playing on a circuit. They're playing in certain tournaments that happen on each weekend, and they're in different places. In fact, the first weekend for EYBL, for Nike's EYBL, in fact, will be April 10th through the 12th, which is the first open period that college coaches can, you know, really come out and be in the gyms and, you know, and have a chance to you know, to take a look at kids up front. And Nike's EYBL will actually be in your neck of the woods, will be down at Boo Williams. So those kids will be there. I believe the Adidas Uprising circuit will be in that first weekend. They are in Indianapolis, I believe. No, I'm sorry. Adidas is in Dallas, and the Under Armour Association is in New Orleans. So all the teams that are affiliated and sponsored by each of those groups will be in different places. Nike in Hampton, Virginia. Under Armour teams will be in New Orleans, and then in Dallas, the Adidas Uprising. Now, what does this mean? You know, parents are, you know, you're sitting there scratching your head saying, what does this mean? Well, what it means is that the majority of the, you know, the college coaches will be at one or all three of those locations. So if your kid is playing on a team who's not one of the premier teams associated with that, there's a very good chance your high school kid is a high school kid that's a good player. He's not going to get the opportunity to get assessed. And that's just the reality of it. You know, I think gone are the days that the involvement of this circuit, and by the way, each of these circuits, Nike, Adidas and now Under Armour being the most recent entry into the game. Each of these circuits, Mike, are extremely well run. The schedules are already out, so everybody knows who they're going to play. There's real-time scoring. There's streaming of games. You can watch the games online. Their you know, statistics are so you know, and put up in real time, so you know who's leading the league in scoring or who's, you know, has the most rebounds and, you know, shooting percentages. The same thing you would get in a very professional setting. This is where we move to. These groups are all also flying their kids in, because obviously if you're in California, your California team associated with Nike, you're going to be flown into Hampton. So it's very professional. A lot of the a lot of our kids are having the same kind of experiences that Mike Jr. is having as a member of the Atlanta Hawks. They are getting per diem. Okay. Their hotels taken care of. In some cases, There's one team, and I won't mention the names because I'm good friends with them, but they're in another part of the country where literally the founder and the director of the program is a very well-to-do man who has built a gym that he runs the program out of, and he flies his kids on his personal jet to all of the games. And our kids are having experiences like this at 16 and 17 years old. Now, mind you, these are the elite players, but this affects all of AAU all the way down. And I think that it's gotten to the point, you and I have talked a little bit about the fact that, you know, once the kids get to be 14 now, you know, before, you know, the goal was for everybody to get down to Orlando or to wherever your national age group AAU championship was. That's not important. Some of the kids don't even go play in the nationals anymore. Okay, they're just playing in some of the AAU tournaments that are around them regionally with the best teams as a tune up for the circuit that they're on in the different places that they go on that circuit. So that's where the involvement is happened, and again, it's something that just parents should know about. You know, you can't, take the attitude. It's like, hey, well, I'll just do what I think is best. Well, you know, we've moved on from sometimes what you think is going on. There's a business. There's a professionalism. There are publicists that are involved. There are people who do rankings. There's a great app for parents and kids to get out now called Court Cred, and that's CourtCred, and they can go to the iStore and download this app. They can, you know, put it on their phones or on their computers. And this is a listing of all the top kids in the country, and this is the first time that you actually have an opportunity to have a say in that, as a fan. There's a panel of experts, the ESPN and Bull and all the top scouts are on the panel, but you have your say as well. And again, this is something that college coaches pay attention to. So, big changes, big businesses that we have now moved into. We'll go ahead. I'm gonna let you change directions if you like. But that's just sort of a little primer for you.
No, but you did touch on some of the things that we were looking to hear. And you did highlight, just some of the basic history of how the program has evolved. And I wasn't even aware that Reebok had dropped out of it. You know, I remember that they had got bought out, but I hadn't kept up with them enough to realize that they have actually dropped out of, the little circuit.
Yeah. Well, and that's kind of telling in of itself, Mike, that you didn't notice because, if you stop and think about it, you probably haven't seen much in the way of a basketball commercial for them, because they've really kind of gotten out of that. They don't really have a full line of basketball shoes. And I know that having done some work with John Wall's camp here, I'm told that he was their signature signee athlete.
Okay.
That had a deal with them, and I understand he found out by text.
Wow.
That he was going to be he was now going to be wearing Adidas, and they had fully developed a line around him. So So they've gotten out, but Under Armour has really stepped in this thing. They Nike's still the big guy on the block. They will continue to be, and I kind of have to say that I've been involved with them. I have a deal with them. I've been involved with them for 15 years, and so the difference is I just while they've been great to me, and they obviously the products are good, and I'm an advocate for them. I do not think that they should be the only guys on the block. And so I'm appreciative of what Under Armour has done in terms of really coming out against the big guy on the block. I mean, they can, Nike really controls not only the athletic shoe market, but they control the shoe market. Look at the total numbers. They really the amount of the share of the market, just shoe sales, period, is huge. And Adidas does a great job, at the grassroots level as well. The league is extremely well run. They have some great people involved with it. And each of the groups kind of mirror each other now. The fight is for those kids. Right now Nike's still ahead of, but Under Armour has a lot of the top kids as well as Adidas does. And unfortunately, the kids have to kind of make a choice. Once you're sort of affiliated with one group, you have to have that affiliation. It's very, very tough. Sometimes decision to make at 15 years old, whether you're going to be, with maybe some kids you grew up with. In one organization, but you have an opportunity with another, and so that means you don't wear Adidas socks with Nike shoes, and it gets specific there, and sometimes I think that's too much. I'm involved. I'm a director at a couple of camps. With Clay Dade, who actually sort of originally started out, working for me as my summer camp director, and he's developed, some of the top invitational camps in the country. And so we work the Fab Frosh camp, the Super Soft camp, and, I've had an opportunity to work, NBA Top 100 and Five Star, and kind of the list goes on and on. And these are invitational camps, the best camps. But what we've tried to do with the ones that I'm involved in is really to bring in a collection of the best kids. It's not, we don't care who you're affiliated with in terms of a shoe scenario. And it gets dicey. It gets tough. Kids have told us, it's like, oh, well, we want to come, but our people have told us, that we can't come because, they don't want me to go. So there's a lot of that that goes on, and again, I try to stay out of it because, for the kids' part, they generally have little to do with it. It has to do with the adults that are, making the rules. But that's real, and you need to know that. And another big thing, we can move on. But I do want to say that a lot of the things I see going on in AAU, and I just want to point this out particularly, is that parents and kids, make sure that your coaches and your directors are putting you guys in the tournaments with a collection of the better teams. Don't just do a tournament because the tournament's down the street from you and it doesn't, cost you. It's not going to cost you any money transportation-wise. You're better off to go to that tournament that's been around for a few years and, has a list of the programs or has, programs participating that you should be competing against. Okay. And that's one of the things that I'm seeing, travel ball should be for a reason. Otherwise you guys can stay at home and develop and, play in your area. But if you are going to travel, go to the, you know, try to go to the best events. You know, don't waste your money and resources going to events that are not going to help your kids get better against better competition.
Exactly. One of the other things that I wanted to throw out there as well was, the separation, as you just highlighted, with the EBDL and Under Armour's League and
Adidas.
Adidas, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Not all of the kids that are involved in AAU is actually affiliated with that level of competition.
Absolutely.
You'll have a whole lot of mom and pop teams, mainly pop teams that'll pop up, that they're out there trying to get to the point where, they're trying to build up a little credit for a group of kids, but if they're not playing in those tournaments that you just mentioned or those events that you just mentioned, then their chances of exposure.
Yeah, they're not totally, you're not totally at a disadvantage, but because, you want to then go to the next, best tournaments, because there are plenty of those, and they're actually probably too many, at this juncture. But, do your homework, do your research, find out who they're bringing in, because sometimes, for example, you're down in Tidewater, and Boo Williams and his programs are king down there, but he has several teams, and they don't all go to the same thing, maybe.
Exactly.
Maybe his B team or C team. Hey, and guess what? And those guys are just, in many cases, is just as good as the A team. These are kids that are gonna go to school and they're very good players. But it's just it becomes a numbers game, And so some kids have to be on the B team or the C team, but they're all very good players. Sometimes they're not in those tournaments, but they're in another tournament. And so you have to seek those out and make sure you put your young men and your young women in those places. Again, and it's not just really about the exposure sometimes as it is about the competition and, people having a reputation of being, better coached or well-coached teams. Those are the teams you want to play against. Those are what make your kids' travel opportunities worth it. Sometimes the best lessons, that you learn in terms of your development has to do when you lose. You're not gonna win everything out there. Sometimes you're playing four or five games in a weekend and you're tired, you're out of gas, but a lot of that's a teaching process, learning how to play tired, learning how to get yourself better prepared for that, learning how to eat during that process. Say you have three games in a day, you play first thing in the morning and you play midday and then you play in the evening. Well, part of the process is for kids learning how to eat during that process to get not only nutrition, but to be able to bounce back. So all of those things are important, and so sometimes it's more important than just slapping a team together and saying, well, we're gonna and I know you've seen this quite a bit, that we're gonna do we're gonna have this this team because I don't like the way Coach Johnny is coaching, so I'm gonna take my kid and another couple kids out of this team and we're gonna start our own team.
Exactly.
That's wonderful, but oftentimes you end up putting your kids, because of your ego, in a situation that is not better for them. It's just about the fact that you'd like to have some control over their playing time, or you didn't like maybe the way the coach talked to you or whatever. So There's a lot of things, like I said, that I don't like about what I see, but there are a lot of great things about this process. You know, and learning how to work with different people. You know, one of the best things that I think I got out of my, my playing experience was the ability to, you know, kind of assess situations right away. That's helped me so much in the, you know, in the working world, you know, being able to see who can do things right away, instantaneously, you know, the same way that a player has to know, well, you know what, if I dump the ball into this kid, you know, I just met him, but I've given him the ball now a couple times, and, you know, and he has terrible footwork or he doesn't have good hands. And so I'm better off unless he is absolutely open under the basket. You know, I don't give him the ball. And, you know, you got to learn how to talk with certain people and how to communicate with certain people. These are all things that your kid starts to develop and build very early, so that when they go into any job situation or they go into any new school or anything along those lines, are able very quickly to make those adjustments. And those are the things that he or she is going to have to do for the rest of his life. How many times have you worked, Mike, you know, you got a coworker and, you know, you guys get a new project or something comes down, you know, from upstairs or up from the top that needs to be done, and you know you can't give that to coworker C, you know, because if you give it to C, you're all going to get fired. You know, but you know what C's strengths are, and he's like, okay, well, look, you handle this part of it, and then the rest of us, you know, we're going to have to do the yeoman's work here. But those are the things that I think kids get out of you know, this experience if it's worked right and they have you know, good coaching as they learn to adapt to situations quickly and get along with people. And there's a lot to be, you know, said for that.
Exactly. Well, you know, folks, we've heard a great deal of information from our guest this evening, and we truly appreciate him being on with us. You know, that witching hour has come where it's time for us to wind it down. So on that note, Dave, give us some contact information for anybody that has some children up in your area that may want to, you know, see what you got going on with Hoops.
Sure, and nationally too now, because we launched the program this year in Atlanta. Rodney Hurd, who's actually now the director of NBA scouting, has taken over as the Atlanta director for Hoop Kids. We have some upcoming things here in the spring. There, not only training, but some camps coming, and you know, Rodney will be running that. In my area, you know, I'm the contact person. The website is hoopkids.com, HOOPKIDZ.com. You can find us on Twitter. KIDZ on Facebook at Hoop Kids Hoop Elite Basketball, and then you can also get us via the phone at area code 301-920-2501, and that's 301-920-2501. And like Mike, we also have a radio show, and that is at Blog Talk Radio as well. We're co blogtalkradio.com people, and we're at blogtalkradio.com/hoopsradio DMV, and Hoops is spelled HOOPZ. RADIO and DMV as in District, Maryland, and Virginia.
All right. Hey, we appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule and
I told you tonight it was just the Maryland game. You know, my my number one UVA seed. You know, I don't know what Mike told them to do, but they didn't. they didn't play, and they blew everybody's brackets up the way they were capable of. But what a great season, you know, Coach had down there, and that group of kids. You know, we saw them flash last year, but this year they really. I thought that you know, they'd be sitting there in Indianapolis this year.
Exactly. Hey, Dave, we appreciate you joining us this evening. As always, we welcome you back anytime you want to come on and give us some of your insight and your wisdom, your knowledge. Also, I'll be checking out, matter of fact, during the spring break time period, I'll be down in the Atlanta area. So I may stop in to check out some of the events that you see is going on down there at camps as well. You know, from time to time, I like to get out and, you know, just share some of the information with some of the parents that's in some of these places and just let them know that, hey, you're getting involved in something that if you don't pay attention to what's going on and you sit back and wait for somebody else to do it for you, you're gonna miss the opportunity.
Absolutely. Well, good. Well, I would love to have you and, you know, look forward to doing that. And then as well, I'm going to you know, we've got a show that we're going to do here in the next couple weeks. I'd love to have you on where we're going to explore this a little more and you know, particularly because, you know, and technically this weekend was the start of the AAU season, but we're going to explore it some more and, you know, make sure that we put this information out. And I'd love to have your input on that as well.
No problem, sir. Thanks again.
All right. Okay, God bless. Thank you.
All right. Well, like I said, folks, we've been talking with Mr. Dave Dickerson from Hoops Kids or Hoops and Hoops Elite, which is the national program. And he's done some great things out there with the many kids that he's worked with over the years. And we truly appreciate you joining us this evening on the Parents Call to Parents Network here on Blog Talk Radio. So until our next show, next week, check us out on Facebook, check us out on Twitter at PCP Network or on Facebook at the Parents Coach Parents Network and see some of the things that we're posting, some of the information that we're putting out there for the parents. And if you have any questions, always, by all means, please, by all means, reach out to us. We're here to serve you. Help us help you. That's our motto. That's what we're going to stick by, and that's what we're going to roll out on. So on that note, folks, y'all have a great evening, and until next Saturday, 9:30 Eastern Standard Time, we're out.